It's odd how God brings missionaries to my notice so that I can invite them. Brinson is out of Greenwood, South Carolina, and as you know, I have a lot of family there in Greenwood. And his dad was, I don't know exactly how this worked, but his dad was associated with Greenwood Baptist Church, where Kara's husband, my oldest daughter's husband, is the associate pastor. His dad started that church years ago, and he was associated with that. I don't think he went all the time, but he was there. And he was tragically killed in an automobile accident not that long, really, before Brinson came here. And just a very, very sad thing. And the one thing that I remember was that my mom and dad went to the viewing, the family visitation, and they watched you, Brinson, at that visitation. And they said he was, as his dad was lying there in state at the funeral home, Brinson was witnessing and passing out tracts to the people who were there. And so I thought, that's my kind of guy right there. Can you imagine having that kind of, that level of dedication? Just an amazing thing. Well, I don't want to set him up any more than I've already done by doing that. But this is a man who's earned his stripes early on. They came, as all of you know, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and were really one of the anchor families in a mission conference just like this. But when they came, they had already reached full support. And so our mission committee looked at it and they said, we want these folks as missionaries, but they're already full support. We can't do that, not in good stewardship. And so they approved them. They stand approved as our missionaries tonight and have been ever since then. But we weren't able to do it at that time. But things have changed. They have children now, another one on the way. And also, they've had the attrition that comes to missionary support naturally. So they're now kind of under-supported. We've got our shot. We've got our chance. And we're praying that God is going to raise the faith promise to where it's just a shoe-in that we can take them on. And we believe it will. I just believe God's going to do it. Kind of miraculously arranged for them to be home. I just want to thank those Muslims who gave all that trouble over there in Niger for bringing you home, Brinson. I think this is great. So anyway, he's going to come speak to us this evening. And brother, you come right ahead.
And good evening. Amen. That's good. I tell you, it's a good crowd tonight. And that speaks volumes with the local church on the night of missions conference kicking off. And it's just really neat to see the big crowd here and shows that you have a love for missions. And I appreciate that. I want to tell you, and as Pastor was saying, we are not too far from here in Greenwood, South Carolina. And believe it or not, I have family that lives in Commerce from my mom's side. And so we have a connection for this part of the country too. I tell you, the Lord works in mysterious ways, how He brings folks together, and we give Him all the glory. And I want to tell you too, preacher, the blessing you've been to me. Your pastor has been a breath of fresh air to me every time I talk with him. Just always encouraging. And, sometimes, a missionary, the shoemakers and others can relate to this. Sometimes a pastor doesn't have a time of day for missionaries, not even to say hello. And I know they're real busy, but Pastor Miles always takes time to talk with me and encourage me, and I appreciate that. Well, as you know, reading in your bulletin, we are missionaries to Niger, West Africa. And we're there reaching a Muslim people group called the Tuaregs. And as we arrived on the field, we found out that we were reaching a lot more Muslims than just the Tuareg. We found out that we were reaching the Hausa. We found out that we were reaching the Fulani. All of those located in that area, in that region of Niger, in the city of Agadez. And so God was blessing, and I don't want to give too much away before I show the video. That does a lot better job. The picture's worth a thousand words. And so I'll show that, and then I'll bring you up to date where we are right now. But I think that'll be a blessing to you. And also, what I'm going to do, I'm going to open it up for questions after the video, after I give you a little bit more updating. As you watch the video, perhaps something comes to mind. I want to inform you as well as I can on what God is doing in Niger, West Africa. And again, it's a privilege to be here and be a part of your missions conference. Pastor, thank you for allowing us to be here, Pastor Matt. And so we'll go ahead and show the video now, and then I'll say more when I come back up.
Allah. Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Islam has permeated the city of Agadez, Niger for centuries. Prayers to Allah, Quranic teachings, and Muslim festivals dominate the culture of this desert city. In 1970, the first BIMI missionaries arrived in Agadez and began to plow this hardened ground and plant seeds of the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, because of their faithfulness, one can hear another sound besides the Muslim prayer call, the preaching of God's word in Tamashic, broadcast each week on two local radio stations.
Assalamu alaikum. Asaifat anelkam an yiswa al masiq tahta Agadez.
For decades, there was little fruit in this difficult harvest field. But in recent years, there has been a softening, a growing interest, and an ever-increasing number of Africans coming to Christ. God has raised up a group of believers in the city, and all around Agadez there are villages who are listening and responding to the gospel. It is in this special harvest field for this specific time that God has placed our family. I am Brinson Jennings, and along with my wife, Joanna, and our daughter, Mary Ann, we are your missionaries to Niger, West Africa. In February of 2008, while I was in Bible college, God called us to minister in Niger. After graduating with a missions degree in 2009, we began traveling on full-time deputation, and in December of 2010, we left for the field. Because French is the official language of Niger, we went to Massy, France for language study. We enrolled in a Christian language school and got involved in an independent Baptist church in our area. The people of the Église Évangélique Baptiste d'Etampes welcomed us with open arms and graciously helped us practice our French. As our language slowly improved, we were able to minister and build lasting friendships. It was during our time in France that God blessed us with the birth of our first child, Mary Ann Rose, on November 16, 2011. After language school, we moved to Niger, West Africa. We began praying and diligently searching for a reliable vehicle. And after 2 months, God provided a four-wheel drive 2005 Toyota Land Cruiser. At the end of September, we drove our vehicle 700 miles across the Sahara Desert from the capital of Niamey to our town of Agadez. The Lord gave us a wonderful house to rent, and we settled into life in the desert. We began to meet our neighbors and build relationships with those around us. We got involved with a ministry that veteran missionary David Edens had recently begun, the distribution of radios and memory cards. Each radio is equipped with an MP3 player and a place to insert an SD memory card. After loading the audio files of the Tamashic New Testament onto a memory card, we gave the radios out to those who had shown interest in learning more about the gospel. This is an excellent tool for spreading God's word, especially for many who are illiterate. During our time in Agadez, we were able to help distribute over 150 radios and SD cards. As the word of God goes forth, we know it will not return void. Our main objective after settling in was to begin studying the local African language, and God led us to a language helper named Paul. He speaks French well, and so we were able to witness to him on numerous occasions. On March 1, 2013, Paul shared with me that he finally understood the gospel and he had chosen to believe.
Arwa, tewe chugodan, yugodan in Tinumari, kani nariyon in Thomas, in Masimane, kagodara sanuma. Dlili, asigrawa, asigrechit, antari chichimala, zagzanas yeswa. Arwa artan zre ugotni zre ndetumutusti nas zagzana sesu alunas tanu martin tomas arwa sinamara yud wachi dizirgazan sakarwa adana josad malana chi adayi mulchi mulina ne yesu alunas asas no zirga ngru tumutu tawarna gaba.
Immediately, Paul displayed a desire to grow and learn more about the Bible. I began to disciple him in French for an hour or more nearly every day. It wasn't long before he expressed a desire to be baptized, and so I had the privilege of baptizing my first African believer on June 2nd, 2013.
Dici, Barnet Yeswa El Messir. Dici, Aman Zadogni. Amin. Tanamat the machine.
Amen. As Paul continued to grow, I encouraged him to teach others the things he was learning about the Bible and Jesus Christ. God gave him a wonderful opportunity when the family of a young man named Nathan showed interest in beginning a Bible study at their home. Throughout the week, Paul and I would study a subject and practice a lesson, and on Sunday evening, we would travel out and hold a Bible study. We went along to answer any questions, but Paul did the majority of the teaching. It was so exciting to see this young man share the Word of God with others. Another precious soul to whom God allowed us to minister was our neighbor Marcus. After months of befriending him, Paul and I were able to lead him to Christ. Since then, he has shown a desire to grow and learn more, but has faced strong opposition from his family. While we labored in the harvest field of Agadez, a storm was brewing in our neighboring country of Mali. An extreme Islamic group had taken over the northern part of that country and was enforcing Sharia law. In January of 2013, the French military attacked northern Mali with the goal of expelling the Islamists. We carefully followed the war there, knowing that the possibility of their coming to our area was increasing. On May 23, 2013, a suicide bomber attacked a military base in Agadez, only a mile from our home. Over 20 soldiers were killed, and the city was put on high security alert. After evaluating the situation and getting counsel from our pastor and missions director, we felt the Lord would have us leave our town for a time. Our desire is that the terrorist group would be eradicated and that we will be able to return to Agadez after our furlough. We have no doubt that God placed us in Agadez for such a time as this. If the Lord allows us to return, our main goals will be to continue learning the local African language, disciple and train the believers to reach others, start Bible studies throughout the city with the goal of forming them into churches, and train preachers to travel out to villages to disciple and encourage the believers there. Because of your prayers and financial support, the lives of these people were changed by the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for making a difference in Agadez. By God's grace, the gospel will continue to spread throughout this city. The fields are white. The harvest is ready. Pray that God would send forth more laborers and that His word will continue to bear fruit in this Muslim land.
Okay, well, hopefully that gave you a good overview of what's been going on. And I want to say to you all, even though you haven't been technically supporting us financially, but you have been praying for us. There's several families I've been in contact with in the church, and they've just been praying for us. And I want to thank you for that. That means a lot. That is just as important, if not more important, than the financial support. And because, you know, although money is a needful thing, we can't be on the mission field without supporting churches helping us financially. But, you know, we can't make it without prayer support either. And that's just something that I appreciate and I always want to thank churches. And I like to emphasize that as well. Well, let me bring you up to date. We've just been in the States now for a couple of months, and we're going to just go ahead and do a scheduled furlough. Joanna's going to have the baby coming in November. The due date's November 16th. You say, why do you say that? Ladies are interested in those things, and so that will happen, and then we'll kind of hang around the house probably for December. We have some meetings around Greenwood, not far away at all, that we can just drive on Sundays. And then we hit the road hard and through January, through March and April. And by God's grace, and if He allows us to, we are making plans to go back in May. And what we'll do at this point, we're not sure about Agadez. We're going to reevaluate and just see what the Lord does there. But we're definitely going to Niger. If we have to stay in the capital for a while, Niamey, we can. We can find a place pretty easily there. And we would camp out there and just reevaluate the situation in Agadez to see if God would open that door again, because it is possible. If not permanently, we can be stationed in Niamey and do short-term trips. That way that we could avoid any possible attack on ourselves or to be possible targets. But you just pray with us about that. We want what the Lord wants. I've often been told by some counselors, there is a difference between faith and foolishness. And we definitely don't want to do anything foolish.
and we want to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so I tell folks, Pastor, you know, where the area we're in, even when we went up in September and then especially in January when the French military invaded northern Mali, the embassy did not want us there, the U.S. embassy in the capital. But they do that a lot just to kind of cover themselves. They're real sensitive and about those sort of things, about American citizens being different in vulnerable places. But we were led by the Lord to stay. And so we stayed put in Agadez through January. But when the attack happened in May, we knew that God was moving us on temporarily anyway. You know, I'd love to tell you up here that at that time I was I was Mr. Spiritual and really didn't have any fears and wasn't discouraged, but that's not true at all. We had a lot of fears. We didn't know what was going on. We didn't know where we were going to make it out or not. We did and all those things, but then once we did make it out, we were discouraged, asking questions. God, why? You know, I mean, we were just getting planted good, building relationships, seeing a little bit of fruit, as you saw Paul and Marcus and a couple others coming to know Christ, and that is just phenomenal in that type of land, those type of people. You just don't see a lot of people coming to Christ, but the Lord has given us peace. As Mrs. Shoemaker mentioned, God just gives you a settled peace that you are in His will, and He's helped us through that, given us grace, and we know we're right on His time schedule, and that's where we're going to stay and just do what He wants us to do. But it's exciting to see. You saw the apostle the apostle Paul, the things that he went through, and I have done nothing compared to what the apostle Paul went through. But he's been an encouragement as we've been going through these things. God's given me a lot of scripture verses with apostle Paul and just what he went through, and that has helped us. But you know, things that also are the things that have been encouraging through this is seeing like the young man that we're calling Paul. His name, that's his code name, and we do that for security reasons. And if you'd like to talk with me afterwards, I'll be glad to share you with his name. But I think these messages go on the internet, don't they, preacher? Okay. But anyway, it is just amazing to see him grow. I'm actually talking with Paul every week. We usually try to talk once a week. He has a cell phone, and also before I left, before we left Niger, I showed him how to work the internet. To go to the internet cafe and to be able to use email. And so we also communicate by email. In fact, I was discipling him, like I said in the video, in French before we left, and I'm still doing that. I'm sending him emails. We're studying, like right now, the book of Galatians. And what I'll do is I'll give him an assignment to read and send him questions, and he will send those back to me. And so just keeping that connection there, and also you can pray with me. I'm praying about a trip alone here in the near future, and within the next couple of months, in fact. And if you want to know more about that, I'd be glad to share it with you. But I would go by myself just to kind of scope the situation out and just really see what we have, options we have. You know, just want the mind of the Lord in these things. And because there are a lot of open doors. And God is doing a great work. You know, the shoemakers can testify to this. You don't hear on CNN and Fox News about Muslims coming to Christ. You just don't see that, but it is happening. Many are turning to the gospel. They're seeing the emptiness of Islam. They're seeing that it gives no peace, it gives no hope, but Jesus does. And Jesus makes a difference. And we've seen it with our own eyes, and we see what God, the Holy Spirit, can do. Because, you know, going into a land like that, you look at these people and you just think to yourself, is there any hope? These people are so blind. They're so in so much darkness. But oh my, the difference the Word of God can make. The Word of God getting into their hands and them hearing. We know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the Word of God into these people's hands, and we are seeing them come to know Christ. Pray for Paul. Paul's under some persecution now from his family, not physical, but just in a sense of ostracizing, and he's just an outcast right now in many ways. They're trying to get him to marry. There's an arranged marriage that the family is trying to do, and it's actually to a young Muslim lady. So pray for Paul. That's not happened, and I'm praying that it will not. I'm trying to encourage him. Pray that God would give him courage. Put that on your prayer list, if you would, please. Men like Marcus, I tell folks, just to give you an idea of what these people experience, when Paul led Marcus to Christ, I was there with him. The next day, Paul came back and to our home to visit. He would usually come every couple of days, and he came one evening, and I could tell his countenance was very sad. And I asked him, Marcus, you know, what's bothering you? What's wrong? And he said, well, last night when I went home, I shared with my family that I accepted Christ as my Savior. I'm a follower of Jesus now. And they then told him that he was to no longer ever again eat a meal with them. And that it was a huge insult to them. You know, because, you know, with us, you know, again, I mean, I know it's a little bit easier here in America for a family were to say that. Well, you know, there's a gazillion restaurants, there's markets and everything. But those people, they eat as family all the time in groups. And sometimes up to five families will share. And for him to no longer be able to come together with that family is a huge ordeal. And it's a huge insult. But they go through things like that when they turn to Christ. And so it's just to give you an idea to pray for them, pray for their encouragement, and that's what we really try to do to these folks. We just try to encourage them because I can't relate to them. I really cannot. And it's just a situation where I try to give them the Word of God, preacher, and try to, you know, just tell them that the Lord Jesus is with them, and if there's anybody that can relate with them, it's the Lord Jesus. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. And we know that the Lord Jesus can help them and relate with them, and so we try to do that. But he's continuing a Bible study outside of town. You can pray with him about that too. He's going out there and share and read the Word of God together, and then he'll pray with them. And so things like that are happening. We're just praying it'll continue to go forth. And so exciting times. And I want to open it up for questions, too. You know, as you watch the video, maybe you have some questions that I can't think of everything. And usually when someone asks a question, usually 20 other people are probably thinking that same thing. So what I'll do this time is just open it up. Is that okay, preacher, to open up some questions? And just to kind of maybe give you an idea of what we're doing, maybe something I didn't say. Does anybody want to start us off? Well, yes, sir.
So, would you go back and check to see how things are right now?
Well, actually, that's a very good question. We would not. I would not take the road. I would not drive, and I wouldn't take the bus. I would fly. It'd be pretty expensive. It's about right around $1,200 one way. Now, if I can get someone to go with me, which sometimes you can get two or three people, you can split that because it's a chartered plane. And so I would definitely have to do that. And so it flies from Niamey in to Agadez. And I would probably only spend 2 weeks there, if that. And just tried to see that situation. I do have a place to stay there that's somewhat secure. And also, it was required every time we went into this town. This town of Agadez, to give you an idea, you saw it on the map. It's kind of away from everything. But it's about a town of 80,000 people. And at the time, we were the only white American family there. So we did stand out pretty good, as you can only imagine. So that's kind of my idea right now. I'm really still praying about that. If God will just really give me peace and liberty about it, I really think it would be an encouragement to Paul and some of the other brethren, and also just be able to do some other logistical things. But that's how I would travel to Agadez. Good question. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
People know what to do in there, and it's going to be difficult.
Right. Yeah, the question was, are the people okay with us being there? Well, actually, believe it or not, Niger is an open country to missionaries. There are limitations, of course. There's no mass evangelism that can be done. You can't pass out tracts in the market or on the street. You know, you have to be somewhat discreet about that. Your churches aren't supposed to really grow any larger than 25 people. And so, especially up in the area we're in, where there's hardly any much of a Christian presence. Down in the capital, definitely more so, but where we are. So they are open with us being there, but there are limitations. Now, these people are usually okay. Like, they're friendly to us. Our neighbors are very friendly to us. Just some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life were Muslim families and some of our neighbors. And just really welcomed us in. But this other group that's moving in, that's totally different story. The jihadists, they absolutely hate Christians and they hate anybody against Islam. And I kind of fall into that category because we're there preaching the gospel and to free these people from that. So, you know, with those people moving in, we're having to rethink things. And, you know, like the Apostle Paul had to do that too. He had to change plans and work with what he had and to let God lead him. And so that's what we're trying to do. But the majority are open to us being there in the city. Yes, sir. The Niger government. They do. They do because, see, Niger is helping over in northern Mali and the shoemakers face it too because Burkina, they're helping out over in the Mali area of the world. And so they're against any of these countries that are helping expel the Islamists. And so that's why they hit that Niger military base less than a mile from our house, and that was their target. And with us, I don't know that they would target us with a suicide, but we would probably be targeted for kidnapping. That's they try to do that for these big ransoms that some of these countries pay, and so that's something that we have to watch out for as well.
Yeah, but
so would this group be similar to the Taliban in Afghanistan?
Al Qaeda, yeah, Al Qaeda, yeah, definitely, right into that group. This is they consider the North African branch, which they're trying to set up. Really, they're taking advantage of these third world countries. To give you an idea, Niger. A huge landmass. Just to give you an idea, it's the size of Texas, Nebraska, and New Mexico. All right, and you're talking about tons of. I mean, the Sahara Desert and tons of bordering property to like Libya, Algeria, and places like. And it's impossible for them to guard all this to protect. And so a lot of these terrorists are coming in to the country and. It's just a thing that the terrorists are figuring out. These third world countries, they have no security. They can't stop us from coming in, and that's what they're doing. And so it's changing. Missions is changing in that area. And that's why I think there's an urgency to train these believers because, yes, they are. It is possible for them to be persecuted as well, but I believe that they can more easily go out into the bush and travel more freely without being detected. As they preach the gospel. So that's why I just feel there's such an urgency for teaching and discipling and training them to take the gospel themselves. Yeah, that's good. Yes, sir?
Is it possible to set up something where you can stay with you in a safe location?
Right.
They can locate them
It is possible to teach them. The question was, is it possible to teach them through like technology like Skype? It is possible, although I'm not sure how it's going to work out because, see, in order to have internet, you have to pay just like here. You pay an internet company. They come and hook it up at your home. Or you can go to internet cafe. Well, that would not be very a good idea. I don't think that would be real safe to do an internet cafe, a public place. So we would technically have to... perhaps set it up for him or whoever it is in a certain location at one of our homes, perhaps. And we're kind of working through that. We want direction from the Lord, and but that is a possibility to be able to minister to them through Skype. Yes, Pastor.
When you showed your video a moment ago, you showed a picture of an aerial view of Agadez.
Yes.
It looked like something you'd see in the Bible now.
Yes.
That's
it. All the homes are there. And one thing, the shoemakers, they can really relate with us because a lot of the land is different. They make their homes a lot the same. But it's flat roofs, mud houses. Our house is mud brick. you know, reinforced with stucco. You know, they put cement on the side of the walls and on the inside as well. But that's what all the homes are made of. Yeah, hardly any green up in Agadez.
Is there like a downtown area that's more modern than that, or is everything like that?
Everything's like that. Yeah, there's no buildings, high buildings, you know. Now, there are some banks, but they're one-story little office building that you walk in, you know. But, yeah, it's not commercialized. I tell people, if there's any fast food restaurants in Niger. And no, not anything close to it. It's funny, the shoemakers, they might be able to relate to this and laugh about this. I had a friend that went to Burkina to visit even there, and he was told that in the Ouagadougou, the capital there, that there was a McDonald's. And so he and his friend walked like 3 miles to go to this McDonald's. Well, they get there to this restaurant, and it indeed is a McDonald's, but it's a sign, a wooden sign with McDonald's painted on it by the Africans. So, you know, you run into that sort of thing, but not much fast food out in that area. But there are some restaurants in Agadez. There's not hardly anything in the capital. We can find a lot more that are some restaurants, but no American chains or anything. But yeah, Niamey is a lot greener. They got the Niger River running through, so you know that's a little bit up in Agadez. It's desert. Yeah. Okay. We catch you down here. Yes, ma'am. We did lose a little bit. Yes, ma'am. And. Ma'am?
That usually happens.
Yes, ma'am, it does. But we're very fortunate. We didn't lose a lot of support. But there is always that, for some reason or another, the church is not able to continue. So that did take place. But it's been, the Lord's blessed us already with, I think, counting this one, 4 perhaps new supporting churches. So that will definitely make up for anything that's been lost. Yes, sir. Wow. Well, to give you an idea, an average, this would be a good hourly rate for somebody, for a man that's working, perhaps just construction, would be about $1 an hour. That's a good rate. That's somebody that knows what they're doing. Otherwise, you're probably thinking about 50 cents an hour to give you an idea. And just to let you folks know, most of the people there are not working, they're surviving. Yeah, they are not working, they are surviving. They're doing everything they can just to survive. And yes, ma'am.
Is there any opportunity?
Yes, there is, in fact. And Joanna has been building relationships already with the neighbor lady. She comes over with her little girl, and she's already been able to do that some. And like I mentioned, we've been ministering only in French because of the timeline. We did learn some of the tribal language of Tamashek. But we didn't really get into it like we wanted to. But the Lord led us to stick with French at the time, and I'm glad He did. So we were a little limited, but we were able to definitely. She was, especially with ladies, because most of the women are not educated. I have a lot of men that I was ministering to that spoke French, but with the ladies, it's more of the tribal languages. But Joanna did have an influence there, and children's ministry is wide open as well. So that's a real burden of ours to be able to do that. These are wonderful questions. Yes, sir.
We see the Muslims on TV a lot. All the prayer doing something. When do they stop us?
Yeah. Well, it depends. Well, I'll tell you one thing they don't eat, and that's pork. But they eat a good bit of rice, believe it or not. They eat a lot of rice. And the meat, they don't eat a whole lot of meat. Usually it's also a grain called millet that they eat in town. You can always get a lot of millet. It's almost, I tell people, it's a cross between grits and oatmeal. So that's a good northern-southern compromise, the north-south compromise there. But they eat a good bit of that. You can get vegetables in town. You can get in the market, believe it or not. You can get some fruit. So they would eat some of those things. One of the staples there in Niger, believe it or not, is down near Niger, they grow a lot of pumpkin. And so they make a lot of stew with pumpkin. And so that's very interesting. I ate a lot of that. So we had pumpkin pie a whole lot, I tell you. I was really thankful for that. But that's just to give you an idea. A lot of them are just, like you said, there's not a whole lot there. They don't eat a lot of meat, but when they do eat meat, they'll eat camel. Like, we eat camel often. It's as you can imagine, pretty tough. Very leathery. But they eat goat meat, which is actually pretty good. I've really started to like goat meat. And they also beef. Used to get some beef there. No chicken. It's too hot in Agadez for chickens. So we do not get much chicken there. And, of course, no fish. Yes, ma'am. Well, they do with each, because the men speak the tribal language as well. I was just meaning a lot of the men are educated, so French would be a second language to them. Their primary language would be the tribal language, but a lot of them do speak French. And the other language there is Hausa and Tamashic, which we were working on a little bit of both. It was very difficult, but the Lord led us, just gave us peace about concentrating on French, just using what we had learned in language school, and I'm so glad He did, because, if we would just put off discipling those people that we had won to Christ, then and had to leave like that, we wouldn't have been able to have that influence. So the Lord just really led in that, and I'm so glad He did, because I was so discouraged and so frustrated that it just seemed like it never worked out for us to get the language, find the language partner and all those things, but God had a reason for that. And amen. So we'd just like to just follow in the leading of the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Very, very good question. Yes, the first question, yes, there are hundreds and hundreds of mosques in our area. We're echoing prayer to call 5 times a day, all the time. We're hearing that. So, yes, a lot of them are nominal Muslims. They are like Paul, for instance. When I first started talking to him, of course, he's 22 years old. Typical young African there, just kind of laid back. And I asked him, now, I know your family would consider themselves Muslim and everything, but do you really know anything about Islam? And he's like, no. And I'm like, do you follow Islam? No. He's like, well, so what do you believe? And it's just kind of like, well, just kind of whatever. I just follow what the family's done. And he said, basically, I'm just a Muslim by name. And so there are tons of people like that. And so they, they just, it's empty. It's an empty religion. It's vain. I really believe, preacher, that religion is the number one thing sending people to hell. They have religions all over the world, religion, but they don't have a relationship with Christ. And so it was neat to see. And that's one of the things that just really touches my heart every time I think about it. He just was overwhelmed as I was discipling, that he could actually have a relationship with God. That was so foreign to him. That it was, their religion is just saying prayers, but such an exterior thing. But you just see a smile on his face that, wow, I can really talk with God. And he can talk with me, and he does. And so it's really neat to see that. Makes it worth it all. These have been wonderful questions. Maybe take one or two more, and then if it scared you, I'm not going to preach an hour message. I'm going to share a few thoughts with you. Yes, sir.
Personally, many different abilities you have there. Either language, that same case for your average, you're wondering.
Primarily, in our region, very good question. In our region, is primarily Tamashic outside of town. Okay, you go outside of town, and that's your Tuaregs that live out in the bush. In town, your main language is going to be Hausa. So yes, you run into that. Your two different languages, which was a kind of a setback for us, that we felt like it was a setback. But the Lord knew when we went there, we were intending to go out a lot. That was our desire, to go out in the bush a lot and work with those people and learn their language. But when the Al-Qaeda moved in, the government, the local police said, no way, you are not going anywhere outside of town. And so they shut us in within the city limits. And so then we were switching to Hausa, trying to learn more. That's what most people spoke in town. So, yeah, very, very good questions. All right, well, I'll take one more if somebody's got one, and then if not, well, you can ask it later. Okay, well, we'll go into the book of 2 Corinthians. I just want to share a few thoughts with you here, really. And then we'll be on our way. I tell you, I've been excited about this conference since Brother Miles called me and told me about it. We've been praying about it, and I really believe the Lord's got some special, special things in store in the coming days. As Pastor said, Brother Ray, you all know that have heard him, he will really encourage you, especially in the area of missions. And God is using that man in a great way, and I'm looking forward to hearing him as well. 2 Corinthians, I'm just going to use the text Pastor has used for the theme there. I'll start reading. I'm just going to start reading in verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. And I'll begin reading here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, the Lord gave me some thoughts about this passage, and one of the things that stood out to me immediately was in verse 3, when Paul simply said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And the first thing that stood out to me about that verse was the fact that the gospel can be hid. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The good news for the world can be hid. And the first thing that God spoke to me about is Brinson Jennings, is he hiding the gospel? Am I hiding the gospel in any way, whether it be in my prayer life, praying for missionaries and praying for lost people, just praying for them that they would soon come to know Christ, that it would no longer be hid. God began dealing with me about that. You know, folks, you know, those of you that are interested in documentaries such with the history, world history and different things, you'll see even our own country through the ages, these treasure hunters, these people that have had millions of dollars worth of jewels, and a lot of times they would be on boats that would sink, and of course you got these treasure hunters now going to look for them. But one thing, one pattern with all those people is these grand treasures, whatever they were, diamonds, jewels, gold, silver, you name it. One thing about it is they would a lot of times do everything they could to hide this jewel, these jewels. Well, why in the world would they do that? Well, it's very simple. Because they were selfish. They wanted it all to themselves. They didn't want to share it with anybody else. And you know, I got to thinking about that. Folks, tonight, wouldn't it be a crime if we made a conscientious decision to hide the gospel from the world? To cover it up, this precious jewel, this treasure that we have of Christ? Wouldn't it be a crime to hide that? And so what I believe this week is an opportunity for us to do everything we can collectively together. It's just not about Crooked Creek. It's about us too. We work collectively as a team. Missionaries in local churches. You see, the idea is doing everything we possibly can to get this lost world to know about this wonderful treasure, the gospel. And doing everything we can not to... That word hiding is the idea of veiling, is to cover up. We're trying to do everything to unveil the gospel. But you see, we have enemies. We have those that work against us. We see later on in this chapter, later on in the verse, it says, the God of this world, that's Satan, is seeking to blind them. And he's doing a good job of it. But you know what? We can make a difference. You can make a difference. As you pray this week and as you have been praying weeks leading up to this, God, what would you have me do? And investing, and so that the world might know Christ. You are doing everything you can so that others might know of this gospel. That it be not hid. And you know, one thing you'll realize that this power that comes in faith promise giving, this grace that God enables us, He provides for us to do these things, the power to grow more fervent in our prayer life. By the way, we all can grow there. Amen. Then that's something else you need to consider this week. God, how can I grow in my prayer life for missionaries? Where in the world does that power come from? I close with this thought. Look at verse 7. How do we not hide this gospel? How do we open their eyes to help them see? It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that's us, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I believe this week our prayer and our desire should be, God, do what we can't. I know it's not good English, but God, do what we cannot, because it's got to be of you, Lord. It's got to be of you. You're going to be the one that has to help us to give what we need to give, to pray like we need to be praying, to do what we need to do to make sure this gospel hears of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that you all have a wonderful testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ever since we came here 4 years ago, I knew immediately, stepping into this church building, that you all were a church that loved missions. And you all have been faithful. Even during the recession and during the hard times, you've continued going forth. And I just want to encourage you, don't stop now. Keep going. And God will bless this church continually as He already has. Looking forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do this week as we all commend ourselves to the Lord as vessels. That's all we are, just a vessel for God to show His power through, that this world might know of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your blessings upon this God-fearing church. Lord, I thank You for Crooked Creek Baptist, and I thank You, Lord, how You're using them to further the gospel, just not in Athens, Georgia, but in all the regions of the world. Lord, I pray this week as Brother Ray comes and the shoemakers and the other missionaries, Lord, I just pray that You just continue to bless in a mighty way. And Lord, we are praying specifically that nothing in this conference will be done in our power, but Lord, by Your power. That You might be lifted up and glorified, and that we might see a wonderful change in all of our hearts for Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.